Welcome to The Complete Musician, creativity at its core, exploring innovative musical ideas, thoughts, and techniques for the modern musician in today's society, with your hosts, James Nagus and Drew Phillips.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Complete Musician Podcast. I'm Drew.
And I'm James.
And it is the start of another semester where we are. James, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm pretty pumped up for this semester. It's summer went by fast, but it's always good to have the students back and to start doing more stuff again. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I wouldn't call my summer super relaxing, but I don't know if you can have a relaxing summer with a 15-month-old. So it it was something. A lot of fun times. A lot of fun times. Just a lot of early wake times and all the things that go into toddlerdom.
Maybe if it was a 15-month-old like bullfrog or something, that would be a little easier. But you're talking about a little tiny child.
I am. And I don't know, 15-month-old bullfrogs are probably fully grown and probably in their last stages of life.
Oh, now. No. So who knows? Bullfrog hospice care.
apologies to all like lovers of bullfrogs and those who actually know their life expectancy. I am not sure what that is. So,
but this is the Complete Musician Podcast where we talk about musical things.
Yes, it is. And we are going to pilot a new format coming in the near future to you. So what we are going to do as a intro to this is our podcasts are going to be limited to 15 minutes.
Okay.
Because we love you, but we don't have time to to spend doing hour-long ones. Although we might still do some like holiday specials, and none of you can see it, but James is like poised on the timer.
Is it 15
like,
minutes
ready to strike?
Starting
not
now?
Yet, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Okay. We gotta give the people, you know, the layout of what it's gonna be.
Otherwise, they'll just cancel. This is the prologue speaking. Right here.
This is the prologue. Speaking of, I'm playing West Side Story, and I just played through the prologue with one of my students.
Oh,
and
nice.
It is still a nightmare, even after all these years and playing it so many times.
What a nightmare. High risk, high reward.
Ugh, mostly high amounts of doom, but you know, there's tritones, whatever. So we're going to do 15 minutes, and we are going to alternate. He's still ready, everyone. You just can't see it.
I am prepared.
We are going to do alternating weeks. So we're going to give a topic, and we're going to talk about it. It's going to be musical. It'll be informative, hopefully, for your life. And every other week, we're going to do a community Q&A. So we're going to ask for questions, and we want to hear from you. We want to know what you want to know about music, about, you know, about us. We reserve the right to not answer anything if we don't like it. But we'll hopefully get to just share a little bit maybe about stuff that you want to know about us, too.
And it's kind of similar to this course that I'm teaching again this year called Music in the Real World, where a big part of it is bringing in people who are in the field and this, and you know, people getting the chance to ask any kind of questions. So I think that can be kind of useful to kind of get inside the mind of one's journey, of one's thought process, of what we're thinking about now and in the future. And so just, you know, we'd love this opportunity for you to pick our brains, and we're happy to share all of our anecdotes, good and silly.
Very good and silly, yes. So, James, we're going to start the timer, and I'm going to tell you the topic because this is our inaugural first episode.
Okay, I'm ready.
Ready, go. All right, so our topic today that I want to talk about is we're starting a new semester. And so, what are the things that if you were coming into a new semester, whether you're a young person, an older person, like an upperclassman, graduate student, whatever, what would you be most apt to take advantage of or look forward to if you were, you know, back in school and knowing what you know now?
Oh, I see. That's a good one. I think the one that I'm going to start off with is, and it has to do something with taking notes and keeping track of information, especially in applied lessons. I feel like through undergrad, well, actually all through all of the schooling I did, I just kind of worked under the assumption of, oh, I'm going to remember this. And, you know, maybe like week to week, month to month, year to year, I remember things. But boy, there was so much good information that I probably just do not remember because I didn't take notes or didn't record my lessons or didn't do some kind of journaling. And I feel like it would be so interesting to go back to the, you know, late 2000s, like 2008, 2007, when I was an undergrad, and to see both what my teachers were saying and also like kind of how I was internalizing that, probably in a way that was just young and, you know, or also just how stressed I probably was because, you know, just like you, we were music ed, so we had 10,000 classes for one credit each. And yeah, so that would be my first one, is just keep track of stuff.
I think it's so difficult for students, especially, and I'm thinking about the youngest students, like our freshmen coming in. It's so difficult to understand how organized you actually need to stay and how all of these things you can take advantage of, like you were saying, recording your lessons, journaling, really keeping a track on your schedule, kind of planning out and scheduling your non-negotiables.
Oh, yeah.
Including
time blocking,
like practice time, eating, sleeping, like, you know, staying active. I mean, social life, all of that. It's so underrated how important that is and how much that can actually assist in your daily life when they come in. So I think that's an important thing to note, like you were saying.
I think I was called type A for how scheduled my schedule is in that regard. When I explained it to one of my classes and I showed them that I like blocked in time for practice and for pickleball and for like food, I guess that's
like you have to.
You have to.
It's like I do. I like that word, non-negotiables, like for all of those things, because it's like not just like it's at practice time. It's like you have to block out when to eat.
Right.
Like for real. Like you actually have to block out when to eat. Yeah, I like that that suggestion of taking advantage of, like you said, like all of the things that you can do to help you remember stuff. Because it's, I mean, I'm totally guilty of, you know, going into a lesson and then I go into a practice room afterwards and I'm like, what? Like,
what am I supposed to do again?
Like, I know I'm supposed to like play this piece, but like, what was the focus? Like, what was the that kind of thing?
Right.
So I urge my students to do that kind of stuff, like record their lessons. And I keep a physical notebook for all of them and try to write down as much information as I can for them each time.
Yeah, we do a Google Doc.
I don't
Doc.
Actually have a ton of students. Oh, okay. We use Outlook here, like the Microsoft thing. And I used to use
my condolences.
OneNote, like that online notebook. Oh, yeah. I totally dumped it because it was so glitchy. Like it never pulled up anywhere. And so I abandoned that. And I was like, just give me the physical stuff.
That's
just
right.
give me a notebook and I'll just write it down. But I actually don't have a ton of students who record their lessons.
Yeah, same.
And
same. There's some studio cultures that do, like all of them.
Yeah, I am not that person. That I don't require it. I suggest it, but I don't have a ton of students who do that. And that's no shame to them. It's just, I don't know. I wonder how, also, like finding the time to go and like listen to that.
Yeah, and I think there's an element of recording that is definitely beneficial, but also it's in the same vein of like some music is meant to be live only. I think sometimes some conversations and some things that happen in lessons are meant for just that scenario. You know what I mean? It's like you feel like you'd have to put on a performance and you to be vulnerable in that learning situation if you're recording, and you might not even just want to go back and listen. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I can think of many times in lessons that I don't want to go back and listen to.
Right.
I can think of tons of performances and I don't want to go back and listen to. I would say that things that I would now take advantage of having know what I know is all of the opportunities that I know about that college offers that I didn't take advantage of. You know, like
what are some?
So like, actually, I'm not even thinking specifically musically, although that's a big part of it. I honestly, if I had the chance, like I would take like a class that would be fun.
Like, yeah, right. Like some kind of like rec sport or something. Or
oh, man, I would take like martial arts or something, like just something crazy that I wouldn't even. I would have never done, or like bowling, or just something that's like totally random, like interested, like taking a film class, or and that might even count for like one of my credits back then, or taking like, I don't know, something like coding,
yeah,
in like a technology class just to learn something totally different. And I know you do, when I've seen you lecture before, you do the whole, oh, you have a name for it. It's the thing where you talk about like your two interests that you combine.
Oh, it's some creative thinking. Yeah, we use the SCAMPER acronym.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. And so like that could actually help you. Maybe if you decided to take something totally off the wall, it could like generate some really cool interest into something that you may not know you're like super interested in, which I think is fascinating. And I wish I would have done more of, you know?
Yeah, I think we were both kind of in survival mode of maxed out credits for what we had to do at that time. So it's sometimes tricky finding that space.
But I also think about like the musical stuff. Like I kind of wish at some points I was like social in school, and I did like play a lot and in a lot of ensembles. I kind of wish I'd have done more things, especially like chamber music that I would have been really proactive about. Right. Like I was in horn ensemble. I did like horn quartet and some woodwind quintets and stuff, but it was always like for a purpose, you know. It wasn't like ad hoc. It wasn't like, hey, these are my friends and, you know, let's just get together and read.
Yes.
Like, let's just ask
our teacher
for music and just like get together and do stuff. I wish I would have done that more. Because that was fun. Like it was doing the thing that I wanted to do, but it was like fun, and it generated and it satisfied the social need, the musical need, and it was. I wish I'd have done more.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll have students come and be like, "Hey, can we just like read through some Strauss tone poems?" I'm like, "Yeah, absolutely." And you don't need me. Nope. Like, just go do it. Just go have just get a bunch of friends. Hey, let's grab some burgers or some popcorn and listen to Bruckner symphonies. Like, you know, it sounds nerdy, but like that's the things that we like as musicians and as learning musicians is just to nerd out about music. And like you said, just to do chamber music that you want and not feeling like you have to necessarily get permission to do it.
Yeah, that's what I wish I would have kind of taken advantage of. But I mean, there's so many things you can look forward to in the semester, especially coming in as a new year. It's like fresh. You're coming right off of like a summer of, I mean, some people had like really intense work over the summer that they're like happy to escape from. Like I had one of my students worked at like a nursery for plants, not people, and he spent the whole summer like planting palm trees. And so in our studio meeting, I was like, did you enjoy that? He was like, absolutely not. He was like, it was terrible. It was backbreaking and exhausting. And so he coming back to school, it's like vacation.
Right.
And then other people are, you know, looking back to coming to school to or looking forward to coming back to school for like the musical purpose and learning and all of that. But there's so many things that you can look forward to. And I think every year is just like slightly different. Like as you get older, you know, like a freshman year is totally different than your mindset, like senior year and all of that.
Right.
What would you feel if you remember, like think back to the long, long ago and
the very long, long ago. Yes.
The long ago. And what would you feel? Do you remember a specific year that you were like the most excited about or like the most terrified about or any kind of experience with that?
That's a great question. I think all through undergrad was just kind of, it felt a lot of it was on rails because of just the way the curriculum was done. And just, it was such a new experience. Mm-hmm. The transition to student teaching was both exciting and terrifying, I know. I feel like maybe when I started master's, it was kind of that moment of you had some clarity in your direction, a little bit more focus. And because of the way that a lot of master's programs work, where you actually have fewer classes and more time to practice, it was kind of like, okay, now it's time to get good, you know? We're well-rounded. We took all of our gen eds. We did all this stuff. Like, now it's time to really put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. And that was exciting, I think.
I couldn't have said it any differently because that's, like, the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel the exact same. Like, the master's beginning was so much more, I feel, purposeful, and I felt like I was actually doing the thing that I wanted to do, and I felt like I had more of a clear sense of like why I was doing the thing. Like the how was being figured out, but like the why was so clear at that point. So I really love the masters and the freedom.
Yeah, gosh,
the freedom of the time during the masters that undergrad did.
And the fact that there was it was a Chipotle, right? Just down the stairs from the music building. Like
That's where we met. Yeah, that's where no, that's not true. We met at the top of an escalator, but yes, we
and then we went to Chipotle. Yeah. But that was maybe more of a that, and the fact that there was a noodles company and a Chipotle nearby was, I think, reassuring to the start of your masters.
Were you there when the Taco Bell was there?
No, that was before me.
Oh man, that was a day of mourning.
The noodles went in.
Yeah, that was a day I mourned for a long time.
And subsequently, you are going to live longer.
Oh man, Chipotle. Anyway, so if you do you remember your worst experience of beginning a semester?
Worst experience of beginning a semester?
I do.
Okay, I'm going to defer to you then.
Okay, I remember that the worst semester, I have a best and a worst. My best semester, I felt, was the beginning, actually, out of all my years, was my sophomore year. And that was because I came in and it was like ensemble auditions and I practiced the whole summer.
Nice.
Like the freshman year, like between, that was actually the year I count as making the biggest, like, marked improvement in my playing, is because I gave so much time to the horn in that summer between my freshman and sophomore year that I came back a totally different player. And the ensemble auditions, I just like knocked out of the park and I got into like all the ensembles I wanted to. And I was so prepared. Like that made me feel so prepared. So that was my best start of the year. The worst start of the year was my junior year. And that's because I moved off campus and my first class was at 8 something. And I went out that morning and my car didn't start.
Well, that's like my my freshman year. I was late to my very first college class. Because my alarm did not go off.
Oh, no.
7:30 a.m. string methods.
You were that person. Oh, 7:30? Yes.
Welcome to college.
Oh, my gosh. You laugh at me for having 8 a.m. lessons. Oh, my gosh. Actually, I don't know any college that has 7:30 classes. That's,
go blue.
That's barbaric. That's diabolical. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that I had to walk to school that day. But it was, I lived close enough, like,
oh,
I could,
that's rough.
But I had to walk to school that day and that was horrible. Oh my gosh. Being late to your first class because your alarm didn't go off. Can you imagine? I mean, teaching now, like if you had to teach a bunch of freshmen and one of them walks up and goes, "I'm sorry, Dr. Negus, like my alarm didn't go off." And you're like, "Should have been more responsible." And you're like, "Well."
Yeah. Well, luckily there was another section of that class at like noon. So I just came to that one and then I wasn't late to the future 7:30.
That's nice. What was your best experience? Do you remember?
I don't.
They've all been wonderful.
The beginning of the semester is always a little bit tricky.
It's always different.
But yeah. And, you know, actually the beginning of the semester of my first full-time college teaching job was probably the scariest, just because I had to teach a whole bunch of new classes.
Yeah.
Everything was like, everything was new. The classes were new. The colleagues were new. The students were new. My office was new.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I have a funny story about the first day that I started teaching college classes, and I may have told you before. If not, I'll tell you after this. I'm not going to tell you on the podcast. But I have a good story.
Well, and also because
that's a cool alarm.
There's our timer.
I like it.
I don't know what that is. No. It was whatever it was.
Well, thank you for listening to the Complete Musician Podcast. This has been Drew and James talking about getting back into the semester. We thank you for listening to us, and we hope you'll come back and listen to us again. You can find us on all of the social media stuff. And when we do our community Q&A, I think we're going to put up like a questions box on Instagram, do the same thing on Facebook.
Just the main socials.
Yeah, and so find us there. We also have a Facebook page that is updated all the time.
We've gotten so much spam email to our cormotohorn@gmail.com email in recent times. I don't even know if they consider it active anymore. Same with our Facebook page.
But it's okay, because we'll be there and we will be answering your questions there too. So we are back, baby. Yep.
It's glad to be back.
We are here. Anyway, yes. All right, so thank you for listening, and we will see you in the next one.
Bye.